check in on the Serta counting sheep.
Hey, Uncle Number One, why aren't we counted anymore?
Long ago, Serta invented the perfect sleeper mattress.
Oh, no!
Oh, yes. It says the all-new Serta Perfect Sleeper with a Q4 support system has 4-in-1 perfectly interlinked coils that help relieve aches and back pain for perfect sleep night after night.
We'll never get counted again.
Nope.
Serta, we make the world's best mattress.
This Memorial Day, save on Serta Perfect Sleeper X at a retailer near you.
Springtime is almost here, and if you've been itching to redo every room in your home, Bob's Discount Furniture can help. When you shop at Bob's, you get wow-worthy everyday low prices on fabulous furniture for every room. Everything from stylish mid-century dining sets and top-rated Bob-O-Pedic mattresses with the best warranties in the business to pop-up sleeper sectionals, all for a fraction of what they cost elsewhere. So, stop in or shop online and get wow-worthy pieces for less. Only at Bob's.
Bustin' Loose Baseball, episode 217. You'll hear from Paul Taboni as he joined Grant and Danny in 106.7 The Fan live in studio. We'll have his two segments on the radio for you coming up at the end of this pod. Also want to react to the front office changes that have come down over the last couple of days. A tough day for a lot of people in the Nationals organization on Wednesday. We'll talk about that and more here on Bustin' Loose Baseball, episode 217, which starts right now.
Bustin' Loose Baseball, hosted by Grant Paulson and Toby Altizer, gives you in-depth analytics and interviews on everything baseball in the nation's capital. Now, here's your host, Grant Paulson and Toby Altizer.
It is Bustin' Loose Baseball. Make sure to tell your friends to check out BLB. We'll drop a couple of pods every week throughout the offseason to give you some player breakdowns as well as reacting to news going on around the ball club. And we had the privilege this week of catching up with Paul Taboni. We'll have that for you in just a couple of minutes. But Grant, a tough week for the Nationals and for a lot of people in the front office as they move off of Assistant General Manager Mark Schalaba, as well as Eddie Longos, the farm director, and numerous scouts. It does sound like Mike DiBartolo is going to stick in the organization, but your reaction to some of the front office changes that Paul Taboni has made in his first real moves as the president of baseball operations?
Yeah, you bring in a new president of baseball ops for a reason, Toby. And this is a team dating back to 2019 that hasn't made the playoffs, hasn't won enough. And so there's going to be significant change. We knew that when Mike Rizzo got fired, when they decided to have an external search, which was a necessity. There's going to be a lot of new faces in the front office all the way down to the minor league coaching staffs, helping with the amateur scouting and player development departments. And there should be. They haven't won enough. It's a results business. But I am very much a proponent of acknowledging this is a business about people, right? Sports are about people. And a lot of good people are losing their jobs. And I mean good human beings, right? But also people that were really good at their jobs, potentially. Like, you've been to a restaurant where they don't serve well, or maybe the food isn't great. Doesn't mean every employee there isn't great. You know, there might be a fantastic waiter or an excellent chef or someone at the front of the house who does a nice job. And that's the case in baseball operations, too. But they're in a clean house, largely, and it's going to be a bit of a bloodbath. And there's going to be a lot of people losing gigs. I mean, notably, we know of a couple of names that were assistant general managers. Mark Schalaba, who'd been with the org since 06, who's, you know, just a terrific guy and really, really good baseball man. And Eddie Longos, who was a young ascending member of this organization, who took over as the director of player development over the last couple of years, who started as a full-timer in 2011 as a D.C. area kid who grew up and went to school in the district. So, you know, you hate to see guys like that that have put in a lot of long hours, done a lot of good work for the organization out, but this is a sea change, obviously, and Paul Taboni is going to build this in his image, as he should be allowed to, and you'll hear him talking about some of the decisions he's made, some that he's still going to make from a lengthy conversation, as you said, we had with him that people will hear for the first time on the pod today.
Yeah, and I, like you mentioned, I think those guys that we've specifically mentioned with Schalaba and Longo has both of them been really good to us and really great dudes. The curious thing here, and I think we'd, you know, alluded to this when Taboni was hired about what he was going to do with the front office, was DiBartolo being the interim general manager sounds like he's going to stick around in the organization. Unclear what that role is going to be, whether it's, you know, just keeping that general manager role while Taboni's the guy still in charge as the president of baseball ops. We'll figure that out as time goes on. But regardless, DiBartolo sticking in the organization, I think that's a positive. We talked about wanting to have some continuity, understanding of the organization and where there were flaws, where their strengths were too, but understanding where the flaws were so that they can kind of iron out some of the kinks and get this thing going in the right direction. So what's your reaction to DeBartolo sticking around?
It's a good question. I think it's a no-brainer of sorts in some ways. I mean, I'm a big believer in institutional knowledge, not just because, again, you can have helpful people who do a good job in bad organizations that are losing, but also because they know the positives and the negatives. Who better can tell you about shortcomings within the organization than Mike DeBartolo, who's been there since 2012 or whatever it is? And who better who can tell you about working with the learners and how to, you know, ask for things and what they're going to be willing to talk about and not willing to talk about than someone who's been next to Rizzo as he's made requests for years and then did it himself over the last several months. So I think for all those reasons, it makes a lot of sense to keep him around. I also just think he is very much a fit with the direction that they're going to go. He is an analytics-driven guy. He is an R&D guy. I think that's the mold with which they're going to build this thing. They're going to also be, you know, an organization that believes in and cares about scouting. But I think if you're talking about like a scale or a pendulum, which way does it lean? Which way does it swing? I think it'll be a little bit more newer school, kind of newfangled with analytics and R&D maybe than old school scouting. So I think DeBartolo works there. And maybe he doesn't get the GM title right away. You know, maybe you kind of keep him as your assistant or whatever, you know, that looks like. And over the course of the year, you kind of see what's what and how things are trending. And if it goes really well, maybe, you know, there's an opportunity then for a promotion and he becomes your general manager. He could externally bring somebody in and name him general manager. And DeBartolo is the assistant to that person. But, you know, it sounds like from, you know, all the people I've talked to, Mike is very excited about the direction. I think they're going to do a lot of the things probably that he's been clamoring for a long, long time under Rizzo. And for himself over the last several months as the acting general manager. So I'll bet while a lot of his buddies are out and a lot of people he's worked with and has great rapport with, this is also really refreshing and is as much for you and I, Toby, as this is like a breath of fresh air. I think for a guy like him and some of the people in that analytics department, which I bet gets affected a lot less than the scouting side will, if I had to make a guess here, I'll bet you they're really excited about, you know, the new way forward, even though it's a very, very sad day, you know, just because your friends are losing jobs.
Yeah, I'm curious, too, you know, with Toboni, he seems like a guy that isn't afraid to put his name on stuff. He kind of mentioned as such with the interview we're going to play here in just a couple of moments. But I also feel like he might be more collaborative than Mike Rizzo was in terms of allowing some of the guys in the organization to be able to make some things happen and, you know, working together, not doing anything freelancing, obviously, but just kind of working together with his guys. Not to say that Rizzo didn't, but I think he's just strikes me as a guy. I'm curious to see how that ends up working out. But seeing what DeBartolo was able to do as the interim general manager, I mean, that's a pretty easy sell when, you know, you're talking to DeBartolo if you're DeBartolo and he's kind of asking why should you stick around, and you just say, look at what I did in the half season that I was here and rebuilding the bullpen and some of the moves I was able to make at the deadline and how the draft turned out. So he had a good half season to kind of put his stamp on things, and I think he did a good enough job that obviously it worked out for him to stick around in the organization. I think it's good for someone that's been around as long as DeBartolo has, that's had the role that he's had, and then ultimately was sitting in the similar type of chair that DeBartolo was sitting in, to stick around and give him some help as he goes through his first couple of years and understanding what this organization is. So I think it was a smart move to keep him around.
Springtime is almost here, and if you've been itching to redo every room in your home, Bob's Discount Furniture can help. When you shop at Bob's, you get wow-worthy everyday low prices on fabulous furniture for every room. Everything from stylish mid-century dining sets and top-rated Bob-O-Pedic mattresses with the best warranties in the business, to pop-up sleeper sectionals, all for a fraction of what they cost elsewhere. So, stop in or shop online and get wow-worthy pieces for less. Only at Bob's.
So I think that's a great point. I was actually thinking about something today, too, driving home after we talked with DeBartolo on the show, which was, you know, I think when DeBartolo gets to operate as a GM for as long as he did, which was through the draft and through the trade deadline. Remember, they made a trade with Boston, the Nathaniel Lowe deal. So if you're DeBartolo, you got a great relationship, obviously, with Breslow, who runs the Red Sox, who worked with DeBartolo and the staff on that deal. I think you could tap into him and say, hey, what was that negotiation like? And what did you think of DeBartolo in that role? And, you know, how did he operate? And what were his
you know, I think you can get some really good insight and intel that you might not normally be able to get. I also think, you know, he was heavily involved in the draft, as we've talked about, with Boston and running the amateur side and being involved in their draft. And so he scouted a lot of the guys that Washington ended up taking in the draft. So in a sense, you're able to get a real feel for, when you talk to Mike, okay, what'd your board look like? Why'd you guys take Eli Willits? What'd you think about this player? Why did you push this player, you know, down a couple rounds and pay him, or whatever it is? And I just think that you're able to compare notes a little bit. And if you like how someone thinks, or if they did a couple things, let's just say I'm making this up, but if you're a big believer in Eli Willits and they had the stones to take him at one, when it would have been a lot easier to call Kate Anderson or Jackson Holiday, Ethan Holiday, Jackson's little brother's name, you know, at the top of the board, like, you know, maybe that gives him a check mark in the column. So I just think there's more opportunity to kind of get a feel for him than had he have never gotten that interim opportunity. And you're just inheriting this guy that you don't really know a whole lot about. He's been working in anonymity. So that's something I've been thinking about. But yeah, I think people around baseball have for a long time said nice things about DeBartolo because he's done a lot of hard, good work without really any fanfare, kind of in the shadows, so to speak. And I think those are the types of people you need in your organization for sure.
We'll let you hear that conversation in just a moment. But Grant, I'd had the opportunity to meet Toboney over at his introductory press conference, was really, really impressed. You didn't have that opportunity, but you got to meet him for the first time in studio today. What were your impressions on him? We'll get your observations of what he had to say after the interviews played. But what did you make of just him, the person, and getting to talk to him and chat with him in the studio?
I really was impressed. He meets you and he shakes your hand and he kind of looks you in the eye and I saw him go around the room with our, you know, producers or even our BLB producer, Darius, a couple times. He like clarified, he's like, what's your name? And Darius said, you know, Darius, and he repeats it. And then when he leaves 5 minutes later, he says bye to you by name, you know, just a high social intelligence and EQ. And from what I can gather, like as a guy that remembers names and like is personable in that way. So I'm just always impressed by people with skills like that as human beings. But very calm, had answers to everything, very smart, methodical. You know, there's not a lot in terms of giving intel on the plan or what they're doing. There's not a lot of meat on the bone yet. That can be on the meat on the Toboney yet, I'll say. How about that? That's a terrible pun, and everyone should hate me for it. But I would say that, like, there's possibly two reasons for that, Tobes. One is he said, when I said, when you looked under the hood, what did you find about this department or whatever? And he's basically like, look, I haven't even opened up the hood yet. We haven't gotten there. That could actually be true. I mean, it's only been a handful of days, and maybe you don't get to do a lot of that leading up to getting this job. So he might not have a whole lot of the answers yet in terms of, do you want to move CJ Abrams to second? Do you want to shop Mackenzie Gore? Like, those teams, types of things might just, he might need a lot more time. But it's also possible that he does have some ideas. He might know already, I'm going to blow this thing up and build it up from the ground floor. And you can't tell us what you're thinking as your next manager when Miguel Cairo is still interviewing for the job. There's a right and wrong way to treat people. And I think he knows that too. So there's a lot of reasons for maybe why you wouldn't kind of give the blueprint right away. But I think where he could, he picked his spots and he gave some insight more than anything else on his paradigm and philosophies and, you know, some of the things he's going to live by as an executive, which I thought was pretty telling.
Yeah, I think he's very sharp and articulate in what he believes in, and I think he's done a good job of kind of laying out his vision. Now he's got to go execute that vision, and I think we believe that he can do that. But it's just, you know, I think when you interact with him, if you ever get that opportunity, it's just so clear that he understands people, and you don't get to this kind of a job at his age if you don't have some incredible people skills. And it's obvious just every interaction you have with him that, like you mentioned, just simple things like remembering your name and shaking your hand and looking you in the eye and just little stuff like that that doesn't seem like it really is that big of a deal and maybe isn't ultimately that big of a deal because it's ultimately going to be down to how he can draft and develop and all those things. But in terms of being a great leader for this organization, I think he's going to be fantastic at it. So I'm excited to see what he's able to do.